ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our special guest again is Val Geisler, an email onboarding copywriter and strategist. We recently had Val to talk about onboarding emails in general, but this time we have her to talk specifically about segmentation. So segmenting users is the topic for today. This episode is brought to you by the UI Audit. Want to design web applications that are actually useful to people? This book will help you adopt a smarter approach to UI UX, from product strategy to each individual screen. To get your copy, head over to uibreakfast.com/audit and use your special promo code SUMMERTIME20 to get 20% off any book package. Hey, Val.
Hi, Jane. Hi, everyone listening.
We're so happy to have you here again and to be able to take another half an hour for this wonderful conversation.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about segmenting. We started to talk about it on the last episode that we recorded, and we realized it needed its own space.
Amazing. So for those who haven't listened to that one, can you please briefly recap what you do for a living and a little bit about your background story?
Yeah, I work with companies who rely on monthly recurring revenue. So typically that's SaaS. Sometimes it's people who run membership sites as a business. And I work with them on campaign-driven emails. So onboarding, retention, win-back campaigns, promotions, webinars, things like that. Anything that's campaign-driven.
Fantastic. And where do you come from? I know you have a big story with ConvertKit.
Yeah, I did work in-house at ConvertKit for a little while and, you know, learned everything I could ever want to know about email marketing while I was there. But, you know, I've always been interested in the customer experience. That's something that's been near and dear to me for a long time. How people interact with brands, their experience of a brand versus what a brand thinks that they're providing for their customers, and then copywriting, providing conversion copywriting services to my clients has been a key piece of that puzzle. The email side of things is a way that I can combine both customer experience and conversion copywriting into one, and it's all delivered through a format that that, you know, everybody needs and everyone uses. Everybody uses email, so you might not be on every social media channel. You might not, you know, have access to certain things, but everybody uses email, and it's not going away.
That is so true, and the topic of segmentation and automation in general is so close to my heart right now because we are building a platform just for that. So your insights today are going to be super valuable for our product development as well at UserList.
Oh, fantastic. Happy to contribute there.
So we did a little bit of research ourselves, of course, and we talked to people and we discovered that segmentation there are two major goals. One is to understand the structure of your audience for analytics, and the other is to use it as a trigger for your automation. And I would love to have your take on that.
Yeah, so segmentation, well, maybe we should start by, you know, defining segmentation.
Absolutely.
For anyone who doesn't really understand it, right? Segmentation is when you take a large group of people and you parse them out into smaller groups of people, typically based on an interest or a type. So if you think about segmentation like a pack of M&Ms and you divide out all the different colors into small groups, right? So you have your yellow M&Ms and your brown M&Ms and the green M&Ms all together. You could also look at segmentation. So maybe you have both plain M&Ms and peanut M&Ms. So you could have all the peanut M&Ms and all the plain M&Ms, but you could also have all of the yellow of both peanut and plain, or all of the green of both peanut and plain, Or maybe you pull all the brown and the, the red, and you want to put them together, but only the plain, right? So there's lots of different ways that you can segment. And I think that having some kind of analogy like that really helps people understand what segmentation looks like. It can look like a lot of different things, and it's not necessarily, all one type or all one interest or anything like that, but you can create small groups of people and cohorts of people who are involved in something specific.
That's a wonderful definition and wonderful analogy. So the main approach to take here is not the linear set of groups, but totally different slices of this big pie of your users.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So going back to use cases, why is it so useful for founders and for audience, managers to segment their people?
Yeah, so I can't think of a single business where you attract just one type of person. Maybe very early on in a business's life, you attract, one particular type of person. But for most businesses, you're going to attract different types of people for different reasons. And you want to know what those reasons are and who those people are so that you can serve them best. No two people are alike, though certain people have similar characteristics to others. So even thinking about, a software business. So let's say you have a scheduling tool. Well, you're going to attract businesses, brick and mortar businesses who need a scheduling tool. You're also going to attract online business owners who need a scheduling tool. You might even attract some people who don't yet have businesses but are interested in the content on your blog, or they saw a friend who has a business that runs, uses your tool, and so they're interested in learning more about it and kind of in that early research phase. So you want to know the details of your business, of the people that you attract to your business, and the best way you can do that is to segment them.
That is one great use case, and I would love you to touch upon another one, which is splitting the users into cohorts from the beginner to professional to advanced, to mature. And that's another direction we can go there.
Absolutely. I just worked with a online course housing platform, right? So people who develop courses can put their courses on this platform. And we segmented their audience in their onboarding and said, hey, listen, we don't want to have one straightforward onboarding for every single person who comes into our product. We want to know who they are, what level of experience they have with building courses. So onboarding someone onto a platform who has never built a course before is a different process than onboarding someone who already has a course on another platform and is bringing it over to this new platform, right? So they need a different set of instructions. You can speak to them differently because they're experienced course builders and they've used a course technology before. So knowing the level of experience of your users is an important factor in segmenting too.
Okay, I guess we have three cases here, because I actually had another thing in mind, is being able to segment users by the level of adoption of your own product, not the level of awareness, which is also cool.
Yeah, so there's like level of experience in their industry, right? So and why they're using your product, but then also, in the adoption of your product, their technical expertise, for example.
From your experience, do you find that segmenting users by their profession, by their origins, and by their purpose is the most widely used for SaaS products?
Yeah, I think most SaaS products want to know, what is your purpose behind signing up for this product? And so segmentation tends to happen in that area. What does it look like to have different pathways for people based on their experience in running their business, in why they want to use the product? If they everybody has different reasons that, I mean, of course, all products have like core functionality that's why somebody comes to it. But there are going to be different use cases. And that typically is when segmentation comes into play, especially in the onboarding process.
How does it translate to actual tools, mechanisms you can use? How do you split those users? Do you ask them upon sign up? Do you include like check marks or something there?
Yeah.
Or, I know, including links to click in one of the first emails is another tool.
Right.
Maybe I'm missing on something. How do you handle that?
No, totally. So there's a couple of different ways. And it depends on what tools that you have in place. So yes, those two ways that you mentioned. The first being that you could, in your sign-up form, have some kind of option, whether it's checkbox or a drop-down. And I think this is a really great option because it guarantees that you're gathering that information direct from the consumer's mouth, so to speak, right? So if it's part of the sign-up process, if it's a piece they have to go through in order to get that free trial or that first month with your product, then they're, you know, they have to do it. You're going to have 100% response rate on that. The other option would be to put some kind of link trigger into that very first email in your email marketing tool. Depending on, you know, what you're using, you can segment people based on a link that they would click that would tag them and then move them into a certain, you know, sequence based on that tag. The third option would be if you were using some kind of personalization tool. I know Right Message is one of them that you could use. You could also build it into your website inherently if you wanted to. But you could, if they're coming from a certain page on your website or if they came from a certain place somewhere else, like a certain ad, for example, if you're running a certain ad and they land on a certain landing page and then they have information that follows them through to the sign up. So you can have tags based on the landing page that they came from that maybe is an identifier like, oh, most people who came from this landing page are this category. And you might want to do some kind of link trigger in an email to confirm that. But, you know, those link triggers rely on the customer taking an action. And so you're not going to have as high of a response rate, obviously, as if it were embedded into the sign-up form.
Absolutely. And also, we spent a lot of time discussing this yesterday with Claire and Benedict. If you have a range of links, what if they click more than one? What if they don't click anything? What if they click one, start a sequence, and then click another one 3 days later? That one just blew my brain away. So we stopped discussing that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what happens. And I think a lot of people shy away from having it be a form field on sign up because they think like, oh, well, that's a barrier to entry and we just want to get as many users on trial as possible and we'll figure it out later. But really, it's not that big of a barrier to entry for someone to say, you know, this is my industry. This is the kind of, you know, reason I'm using your product. And also it's, you get more quality signups that way, right? So you do want to have a little bit of friction, outside of like, just give me your name and your email address and you'll have a free trial. And that's a whole other discussion about free versus paid trials and all of that. But, you know, you do want to have a little bit of friction. You'll get more high quality signups when you gather that information up front.
Absolutely, because it's perceived as an investment from their side as well.
Yeah, and I think a lot of companies also don't gather that information in the sign up because they aren't prepared for segmentation on the other end of that information being delivered, right? So they say, okay, well, we have our onboarding flow. But you know, it's pretty standard. We aren't personalizing it based on industry or on use case. So we aren't going to ask for this information until we can personalize it, until we've built out those other workflows of various emails that go through the onboarding process. And I totally get that point. You know, it's a little bit of putting the cart before the horse. But when you have that data, even if you are just collecting it and storing it, when you have that data up front, then you can use it later on. And it can also inform your segmented email choices. If you maybe have three or four options in your dropdown that they choose from, and you're finding that the majority of your customers really only click on one or two of those options, that's a lot of information that you can then use in your marketing, in your campaigns, and even to determine, we don't actually need to write these other two segmenting pathways because nobody's really choosing them.
Absolutely. That's a great point. Let's talk a little bit about the tools. I'm sure you have some favorite tools, but I'm also quite sure that some of your clients have their own strict preferences. So I'm hoping you've seen at least like a dozen of them for email automation.
Yeah. So, there's pre-acquisition and post-acquisition email tools, right? So, and I know that you can certainly talk about this with user list, but there's definitely a lot of my clients have said, okay, well, I have Intercom and that's it, or I have Drip and that's it. And those are definitely two solid tools to be using. However, by doing that, you're putting all of your customers, both pre and post acquisition, into the same place. Those tools are meant to do two different things. For instance, you cannot do link triggers in something like Intercom. That's a challenge. Once they are an acquired customer, you want to move them into a tool that is going to allow for segmenting. So Drip is a great one. ActiveCampaign is another great one for segmenting. It really depends. This is the standard email answer that everybody hates of it depends, especially when we start talking about tools. Drift is a good one. Again, it depends on the use case and even your audience, right? So how do you want to communicate with your audience? What is the end goal of your business? An e-commerce business needs a very different kind of tool than a software as a service platform does. A B2C might need a different than a B2B. Or an enterprise needs a whole other service. So it really does depend on the particular use case, but the majority of my clients are using, Customer.io is a great one that a lot of people are using, and allows for beautiful segmentation, personalization, Drip, and ActiveCampaign. And I know that there's a bunch of other email marketing platforms that if people are listening from those companies, and I didn't mention your company, I'm sorry. There's definitely some great options, but those are the three I see the most often from my clients are Customer.io, Drip, and ActiveCampaign.
Wonderful. It's interesting that you say that Intercom is qualified as a pre-acquisition tool because Intercom Engage is actually designed for engaging post-sign-up users.
Yeah. So Intercom has really evolved over the years too, right? So I think Engage is something that is newer, that people are really starting to dig into a bit more. But I think eventually you do outgrow a tool, and it depends on your needs, right? So if you want to do things like link triggers, even Engage is still not going to allow for that. So it really depends on the needs and the use case for your business.
Absolutely. And also the tools, other tools evolve. And for example, the knowledge that not everybody is aware of is that things like Kissmetrics also started, I'm sure that was quite a while ago too, started adding the ability to send lifecycle emails as well. Behavior-based results, which is a great case of combining an analytics tool and a sending tool.
Right. And, for people who run membership-based businesses, a lot of those membership platforms have campaign emails built into their platform. So, it depends on what you're already using. It takes someone who knows those tools. A lot of times, I've had so many people. I was just talking to Colin at Customer.io yesterday, and he was saying, You know, there definitely are a lot of people who don't make use of a lot of the features within Customer IO. And I told him, I had a customer once say, like, yeah, I have Customer IO, but I don't really know. Like, I just pay for it. I don't really know how to use it. I think, you know, having someone who understands the tools and knows how to make best use of it for you, and making sure that you talk to somebody, whether it's a support person from the company. A lot of these companies have like experts and, you know, people who are trained on the software, or, you know, just making sure that you're asking those questions and saying, this is what I need it to do. Does it do that? And finding out before you go investing in a new tool.
Absolutely. I should probably add Vero to the lineup of yours because it's one of our favorite competitors. We've been doing some research. They're really lovely.
Yeah, Vero is great too.
So these segments that we talked about, they classify people as belonging to something statically. But how about behavior-based segments based on something that people did or not did inside your app?
Yeah, these are so key for knowing exactly what your customers need to hear from you at any given time, right? So, you know, if you're sending the same emails to everyone, no matter what they've done with your app, you're missing a huge opportunity to engage people based on features that they're using or even that they're not using. If they haven't logged in a certain period of time, if they haven't used a particular feature, you know, knowing what they're doing and tracking that and relating it back to emails, really gives you a chance to connect with your customers and say, hey, this is, you know, this is really valuable, and here's where you're going to see that value over time. I think it's kind of like having a conversation with someone, right? So if you are just monologuing at a person and they're asking you questions, but you're not addressing those questions, that's not a conversation. That's just a play that you're putting on. And so, you know, customers have lots of choices these days, and we really need to be having conversations with our customers and understanding their needs and what they're doing or not doing, and tracking that and then acting accordingly.
So different tools have different approaches to saving people as segments. Some of them have criteria. Some of them have used, I'm now just mixing up words in a pile of words, but, you know, words like segments, groups, tags, all these tools mean different things in different platforms. Can you give us a brief, you know, overview of what you think of that complex situation?
It is complex. And, you know, again, this is where it's like, okay, find out from the expert what it means on this particular, in this particular tool, right? Because even automations can mean different things in different tools. So knowing the proper vocabulary for your tool, what it's going to do for you, and knowing that, you know, I mean, even when I worked at ConvertKit, we definitely had people who would come from like MailChimp and say, okay, so I need this campaign to run, and a campaign in ConvertKit is a broadcast, but maybe you mean a sequence is a campaign. So it's hard to know, right? So you kind of have to clear the deck as far as vocabulary is concerned, and then and just address what you're using, and know that sometimes two words mean the same thing across different tools, and it's just a way of them like differentiating themselves.
Sometimes we perceive segments we implement segments as groups of people, and sometimes we do that via tags. How actively are you using tagging in your own work? And for example, with user list, we've made a conscious decision to try and move away from tags to events and dynamic segments, but maybe you have a different approach. I know automation gurus like Brennan Dunn, they have a little tag for every single, you know, breathe of their user. And there are different approaches out there.
Yeah, you know, I think people don't segment because they see what's possible, and it becomes this like, oh, well, I'm not going to do anything because you know, I can't do all of that, so I'm going to do nothing, right? It's better to do some kind of segmenting. So I think starting with behavior-based is a really great place to start. Certain key actions for your app, whether it's like, oh, if what is it? What is the thing that's going to give them that, you know, the magical aha moment, that moment that they go, okay, I see the value in this product. If that's a particular feature and you know that a customer is not using that feature, that's a segment of people. You can look at that segment of people who have not used that particular feature and send customized messaging to them, to ask questions, to engage with them, to get them to respond and see if they are interested in that feature, why they aren't using it. Really, it's an opportunity to ask questions more than anything. But you know, you can definitely use the behavior-based segmenting as a powerful tool for your existing customers. You don't even need to worry about new customers to start thinking about segmenting. You can think about your existing customers and how can you pull that data and translate it into an email platform. Most of these email platforms that you're going to be using for software purposes have that ability to, you know, can you pull information from your software into that platform and make sure that you are talking to the right people? Because obviously you don't want to tell people about a feature that they are using every single day already because they know about it and they're going to feel like you really don't pay attention to them and that they don't matter.
In your client work, do you help founders figure out those events that lead, so that's of course relevant to onboarding. So first you have to define what events lead to that success, minimal success. And second, be figuring out how exactly you can track that. And is that dramatically different for every business?
It actually is. There are some key things that happen for everyone. But you know, the biggest thing to identify is where do the happiest customers, the customers who come back again and again, you know, that like highest customer lifetime value, where are they getting the most value in the product? And these are questions you should be asking all the time anyways, because it's going to inform your product roadmap. It's going to inform your customer support decisions. It's going to inform your marketing. A lot of different areas are impacted by asking questions to your customers, as you guys at UserList clearly know. But, you know, it's doing that is also going to help you identify those key places where your customers need you, especially when they're going through that trial experience. And even retention, long-term retention. You want to continue, once they've received value and they've converted to a paid customer, you want to continue to make sure that they see that value on an ongoing basis. So if they haven't logged in the last 3 months, if they haven't run a particular report, if they haven't, you know, sent an email through your platform, if they haven't, you know, there's all these different key features depending on your tool, but there are those pieces that provide the value and what they're paying for, and you want to know what that is so you can remind them of it on an ongoing basis.
Absolutely. I have one side question that always gets overlooked. But there are people who are adopting your platform first, sort of account owners, and there are team members who are joining down the road. And how do you approach, you know, onboarding and lifecycle emails for those new team members who obviously need slightly less onboarding? Or do they need the same onboarding as everyone else?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, if you're adding a different people at different access levels to your platform. They may very well need a certain set of onboarding that looks different than the account owner. And that's where, you know, like I mentioned, enterprise, for example, you have like the account owner, the person who made the decision to buy the account. They have a different kind of onboarding than the people who are actually using the account, right? So, there's even knowing that, like who are the decision makers? Who are the actual account users? Who are the admins? Who are the, you know, master, implementers, whatever you want, terminology you want to use, knowing who those people are when they come into your platform. If you give everybody the same access level, then you can only have one kind of onboarding. But if you create those kind of tiers for, like, if a virtual assistant is going to be logging into the platform for the first time, hopefully, I mean, if they're a virtual assistant, they should be pretty, pretty good at finding the answers that they need. But they definitely need their own onboarding that's different from you as the person who is paying the bill every single month.
And it's interesting because we are taking out the conversion component entirely. We don't need to convert them, but we still want them to succeed.
We want them to succeed and we want them to continue to see and get the value out of the product so that they aren't complaining to the boss and saying, hey, I don't actually like using this tool anymore. It's hard to understand. I can't figure it out, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you so much for your insight. The conversation ended up really great. One last question is segmentation for analytics for the purpose of understanding your audience based on any criteria or behavior or their origin. Do you deal with that ever, or is it the subject for people who are specialists in analytics?
Yeah, I think that is, it's an area I'm so interested in and I'm always trying to educate myself on. But I would definitely talk to someone like Brennan for that, because there is, you know, there's certainly that, like, that cohort of people. You can know what people are doing on your website and track them and segment them appropriately that way. And that all comes from, you know, having that personalized data collection from the website side onto your platform.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again for your insights, Val. Where can people find your work and your social profiles online?
Yeah, well, I have a newly launched website. It's same URL as it's always been, valgeisler.com. Same URL, but a brand new facelift on the website. And I still write regular onboarding teardowns. You can opt in to get those in your inbox on an ongoing basis. And, you know, I'm starting to write about some other things too. So be on the lookout for new content on the blog and check out my new website. I would love to hear your feedback and see you in the comments on those teardowns and on the blog.
It looks absolutely gorgeous. Congratulations on the new site.
Thank you so much.
All right, Val. Well, thanks again. And I hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Jane. You too.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. It will help other people discover this podcast.